How many of you believe that moms have a special place? They are a special group of people, no doubt. I thank God for my mother. My mother, she's here, I think somewhere sitting around here, so she's back there in the back. I thank God for my mom, and I thank God I was raised in a family with a godly mother who loved God and really loved us. There was never a question in my heart or in our home whether my mom loved me. My mom loved me, man, even when everybody else, I just thank God. How many of you are thankful for mothers like that? So thankful. A lot of times, you know, we see people succeeding or doing things in life and we don't recognize a lot of times the mothers that are behind them that do great things for them. I know my mom made huge and tremendous sacrifice for me when I was young to get me and to get me to where I am today. Abraham Lincoln, he said this. He said, "No man is poor who has a what?" How many of y'all believe that? I believe that. No man is poor. My mother taught me a lot of things about life, in life in general. I believe that mothers really do teach a lot when it comes to their children and their family. Now, I just want to say this. I'm going to break my message up into two parts. I'm first going to talk to you mothers and challenge you, and then I'm going to tell everyone else who has a mom. Y'all get that? Everybody. I'm going to tell you then what we should be doing today to honor our mothers. Is that fair? All right, so here we go. Number one, I believe that mothers teach us a lot of things. Number one, like logic. How many of you got this? Because I said so, that's why. I don't even know that's logic. My mom said that all the time. How about this, mom, I'm embarrassing you, but here we go. Here we go. Number two, you ready? Irony. You keep laughing and I'm going to give you something to cry about. Hey, listen, this parenting style that I'm talking about up here, this is not for the faint at heart. This is for real parents, all right? This is for the real parents. How about this? Stamina. You sit there till it's all finished. Man, I hate boiled spinach. Spinach that's cooked, can't stand it even to this day. Boiled cabbage, yeah, hold on, Mark. Stop. Listen, spinach, anything boiled, can't handle it. But now raw, I can eat it. But you're going to sit there till you eat it all. Here we go. Here's the next one. You ready? Weather. Looks like a tornado came through here. You know what I'm saying? How about this? Anybody get this? The circle of life. How many of you were taught about the circle of life as a young child? Here it is. You ready? I brought you in, and I'll take you out. And I'll make another just like you. Y'all get with that? Anybody got any real parents here? Praise God. All right, I know. How about behavior modification before they medicined it? Stop that right now. That meant you better stop. We didn't get counting. One, two, three, oh, there wasn't none of that. If they could count, it was over. Amen? All right, how about envy? Envy. We learned envy as a child at our house. You ready? There are millions of less fortunate children out in the world who don't have anything. Come on, now you brought your mom to church and you're scared to raise your hand. Now she told you that stuff, all right? How about this one? Here's another one. How about this one? We learned religion at my house. You better pray that stain comes out. Actually, we learned religion, and it was usually followed by instructions. You better pray, and then there were instructions that followed. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? I believe that with all my heart. We learned a lot. But I believe there's one thing that each and every mother has a responsibility to teach their child. More than you better pray, tornado hit your room, whatever the case might be. More than any of that, I believe mothers have one major responsibility. You ready? That is to make sure you know that your kids have a personal relationship with Jesus. I believe that's above everything. Above everything else that you teach your kids, you should teach them they need a personal relationship with Jesus. I know we spend a lot of time teaching our kids about baseball, softball, sports, a lot of things in academia, whatever the case might be, but can I assure you of this today? There's nothing more valuable than teaching your kids about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, with that being said, I just want to take from the Bible as an example of someone who was actually taught as a child what a relationship with God looked like. And you're going to be shocked or amazed. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't before. But I believe with all my heart, if we can look into the Word of God and find out how other people's faith grew, we can find out how our faith can absolutely grow. So with that being said, I want to remind you what Proverbs says. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they shall not what? Depart. How many of y'all believe that? I believe that. Even if they walk away during their teenage years, because you know as well as I do, they're brain dead. Right? The Bible says they will come back. So listen, those of you that have kids in that teenage bracket, I'm not being funny when I say they are brain damaged. There are brain damage, and you can laugh, but really chemically, the brain melts down and rebuilds itself, and it's complete about 24 years old. So if they check out at 13, they'll be back at 25. Just hope they don't do a bunch of damage between now and then. Come on, amen? Amen. That's a true biological fact, no doubt. But here's a great man in the Bible. Great man in the Bible who became one of the great church leaders in the early church. You had the Apostle Paul, who was arguably one of the most intelligent, most godliest men who ever lived, not because he did everything perfect, but because of the revelation he had about God. And he wrote two-thirds of the Bible, the New Testament anyway. Two-thirds of the New Testament he wrote. Now, in light of that, I want to let you know about this. He had someone he trained up after him. And he picked, honestly, from the cream of the crop. The young man's name was Timothy. Timothy is a young man that Paul groomed for ministry and really prepared to take over after he departed. So we're going to pick up the story. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. It says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in prayers, night and what? Day. And it goes on, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of the tears, that I may be filled with joy. Listen to this. Next verse. Very important. Paul, talking to Timothy, here's what he says. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, watch this, which dwelt first in your, everybody talk to me, grandmother, grandmas. Listen, you may not know it, but you have tremendous influence in your grandkids' faith. Tremendous influence. And you need to leverage that and tell them about God and the things of God. Listen, you're beyond them thinking you're cool. You're cool because you're a grandma. And you probably have a little bit more money than they do. So they love you and they'll listen to you. Even when mom and dad ain't cool. Can I get a witness in here? Yeah. But here it goes. Grandmothers have an influence in ministering to their children and grandchildren and teaching them about the faith. And then it goes on to say, your grandmother Lois, that faith was also in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is also in you. How important is that? That Paul told Timothy, hey, I know that you've got faith in God. I've seen it. But you didn't get it from you. And you didn't get it from your father. And you didn't get it from your grandfather. You got it from your mother and your grandmother. I tell you, there's been a thing in churches over the years that, you know, women should not teach and women should not have influence and women should not be in the part of the church leadership and all that. Listen, if you go back and study that, you'll find out that those situations that Paul was addressing had to do with specific situation in those churches, that women have always had a place in the body of Christ for teaching children, teaching family, and teaching church. And let me just go on and say this. How many of you know some of the greatest things you can ever be taught is by your mother? By your mother. And listen to this. This young man, young preacher, he is being taught by his mother and his grandmother. Get this, not his father. His father was a Greek. I'm going to show you that here in just a few minutes. So his father really didn't have anything in as far as his faith. But when it came to his faith, he got it from his mother and his grandmother. So don't tell me mothers can't make a tremendous impact into their kids' life with their faith. Amen? But I believe that faith, it needs to have some things in it. It needs to be a part of something bigger than just itself, all right? So let me just kind of go there and first of all say this. If you're taking notes, write this down. I believe your faith, mothers, your faith, grandmothers, your faith, it needs to be this first and foremost. It needs to be a saving faith, not a religious faith, not a faith that you talk about on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday has no part in your life. It needs to be a saving faith. In other words, this, you have got to have a relationship with Jesus yourself before you can talk to your children about them having a relationship with God. Come on, amen. You've got to have that. You've got to have a saving faith. I love this. Acts chapter 16, talking about Timothy. Listen to this. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named who? Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who, what did she do? Who believed? Who went to church? No. Who gave tithe? No. Who gave alms? No. Who prayed long prayers? No. She was a certain woman who believed. She had a believing faith. She had a saving faith. She believed that Jesus came, died on the cross, rose again, and was alive and was soon returning. She believed that. See, before we can ever talk to our kids about our faith, we have to have a faith of our own. We have to have a faith inside of us that we can walk in and stand in and believe God for. And I believe you start there, mothers. You start there. You start by you having a faith in God. You having a belief in God. And listen, if you don't have that today, by the end of my message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus. But the most important thing you understand is before you can teach your kids about God, you need to know about God. You need to have a faith that is more than just in the Bible. It has to be a faith deep within your heart. Come on, somebody say amen to that. That's so important, so important. That you have a true faith in God. All right, now number two, if you're taking notes, write this one down. If you're going to be a mother and you're going to have great, great investment in your kid's spiritual life, and you're going to have a faith that's a saving faith, your next thing you need to have is this right here. This may be the most important part of the message. You need to have a seen faith. Everybody say seen faith. You need to have a seen faith. And what I'm talking about is our children are under the onslaught of the enemy constantly. Constantly there are things being thrown in their face, whether it's through Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, whether it's through TV, whether it's through mass media, local media, whatever the case is, they're constantly being berated. And when you live in a culture like that and they don't have a mother and a father, specifically mothers today, they don't have a mother who is counterbalancing what they're seeing and hearing on TV, they are going to be at a huge deficit spiritually. So it is your responsibility to have not just a faith on the inside, but a faith that's on the outside that they can tangibly see so that when they say, what does a woman of God look like? What does a child of God look like? What does someone who prays look like? They can look to their mother and they can say, right there, that's a godly mother. That's what a woman of God is. That's what a woman of God looks like. That's what she is. And I know that's what I desire to be with all of my heart. Look at what Timothy, the Bible says about Paul and Timothy. Paul said about Timothy and his mom. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Where do you think he got that genuine faith? Come on, talk to me. Did he get it from his dad? No. Did he get it from his grandpa? No, it actually says his genuine faith was in his grandmother and mother. If you want your kids to have genuine faith, you have to be the display of genuine faith. Say, what's the word genuine there? In the Greek, it means this. It means without hypocrisy or without being hypocritical or simply genuine. Genuine faith. In other words, this is a faith that you are what you say you are and you're living what you say you want to live. Yes. Amen? 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 You're a living example of what it should be. Whenever it comes to church history, I love church history, and one of the things I do is study people that have gone before us, and there's one mother that really stands out to me in the sense of church history. And her life was not all that, although she gave birth to some awesome people that have graced the face of this planet. And let me just tell you a little bit about her story, just real quick. Check this out. She was married to a preacher. That's trouble right there. Trouble. I'm just saying, it's trouble. Number two, listen to this. She had 17 children. Yeah. How you like them apples? Seven of which died as infants. See, that'd crush a mother. You know as well as I do. That would crush a mom. Get this. Only one of her children was crippled. Another couldn't talk till the child was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. She was married to a man who could not manage money. They disagreed with everything from money all the way to politics. Listen to this. Her husband left her to raise the children alone for long periods of time because of something as simple as an argument over what to eat. You get mad, upset, and leave her. She was desperately sick most of her life. She had no money for food or anything. Debt plagued her. Her husband was once thrown into debtor's prison because their debts were so high, which simply complicated their problems. Her home was burned 2 times to the ground, losing everything. It was assumed that the church members did it because they were mad at what her husband had preached from the pulpit. I'm so glad nobody knows where I live. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you know, that'd be a wild church Sunday. Oh, you preach that again? We're burning your house down. We're burning your house down. I mean, back then, apparently, they didn't just leave. You know? How about this? Someone slit their cow's udder, which back during this time period, this was a huge deal. Slit their cow's udder so that they couldn't have milk, killed their dog, and burned their flax field. This happened to one woman, and this is not Job's wife, y'all. This is one woman. Listen to this. One of her daughters got pregnant out of wedlock, and the man never married her, which absolutely crushed her mother, crushed her. When she was young, she promised the Lord that she would give every hour that she spent in entertainment, she would give to the Lord in prayer and in the Word of God. Taking care of the house, raising kids, and made that commitment completely impossible. She trained her kids, raised her kids, educated her kids, and did everything. She worked in the garden, milked the cows, schooled the children, managed the entire house all by herself. So she decided instead of giving the Lord 1 hour per hour, she would just give the Lord 2 hours a day. That's all she could manage. And the way she did that is she ended up taking an apron, and she told the kids that she was going to be with the Lord, and she would take her apron and put it over her head. When she put it over her head, she said, if my apron is over my head, and probably with that, you touch me, I'll hurt you. Look, she would place it over her head and said, I'm with the Lord. If my apron is over my head, you will not touch me or talk to me because I'm with the Lord at that point in time because she couldn't get away. Say, who was she? By now, her name, believe it or not, is Susan Wesley. If you don't know who she was, her sons were absolutely phenomenal preachers. Actually, untouched even to this day, I believe, in all my heart. John and Charles Wesley, absolutely phenomenal preachers, men of God. Started a church in every county in the United States. Powerful move of God. Listen to this. John Wesley preached to nearly 1 million people in his day without mass media and without the power of a microphone. He just did it with his voice. Listen to this. At the age of 70, he delivered the gospel message of salvation to 32,000 people without the use of a microphone. Say, Pastor Charlie, I don't really understand 32,000 people, what that would look like. Joel Osteen's church seats 16,000. Seats 16,000. He preached to over double that without the use of a microphone at 70 years old. Come on, that's a powerful man of God, right? Listen to this, it goes on. He brought revival everywhere he traveled. His brother Charles wrote over 9,000 hymns, which are still celebrated and sung throughout the church world, even to this day. Not because he had a great father. Not because their father was the best preacher, or he was the best pastor, or even that he was even in the home. They became great men of God because they had a great mother. They had a great mother who was willing to invest in them, sow into them, show them what a godly life looks like. And because of that, her faith was absolutely seen. They saw her live. See, because here's the truth. Our children catch things more than they're taught things. They catch what you're living like more than they're taught what you're living like. If you want to be the greatest mom you could be, you need to have a seen faith, a faith that your children absolutely see. You say, what's that look like? Well, I'm going to give it to you. Ready? Here it is. Do your kids see you praying? In our house, it's funny. It's funny how conversations happen in our house. Usually at our house, the way it works is Whitney and Mike and Michelle, they'll have a conversation, and it's like the last resort is to come to dad. Well, I guess we'll go to dad, you know. You know, because they usually talk about things and they're doing their thing. But this last week, truthfully, we were sitting there at the table. Whitney and Mike, they were all having this conversation. I'm kind of just staying out of it, and they're just going on. Finally, Michelle just looked at Whitney and said this, why don't you just pray about that? And it was like, oh, okay. Now, she's between the age of 14 and 24, so you figure that out. But the truth is, I thank God for a mother in the home who told her daughter to pray. Why don't you pray about that, Whitney? Why don't you pray and seek the Lord and ask the Lord what he's going to tell you to do? Come on, amen? Do your kids see you praying? Do they see you singing and worshiping? Oh, Pastor Charlie, my faith is on the inside, and I worship God on the inside. All right, your faith is on the inside. Don't be surprised whenever your kids tell you that same thing. Well, my faith is on the inside. Oh, I worship on the inside. Come on, why don't you love God? Well, I love God on the inside. How many of you know that ain't flying with you? As a mother, you ain't accepting that. I'm sorry on the inside. Oh, no, you ain't. Until you come here and say you sorry, ain't no sorry inside. We need to move sorry from inside to outside. Can I get a mom in the house? Say amen to that. Come on, right? I'm sorry on the inside. No, it needs to come out. But listen, you need to live your faith out loud too. You need to live as a woman of God on the outside so that they can see what faith actually looks like. Forgive. Forgive. Do your kids see you forgiving? Forgiving. Your husband, spouse. Do they see you forgiving your neighbor, your friends? Do they see you moving on? Or do they see you harboring things and never getting over things? Do they see you sharing your faith? Now, obviously, I'm a dude. It's not Father's Day, it's Mother's Day. But I can tell you this, I want my kids, and I want my kids to see Michelle and I both sharing our faith. One of the greatest memories I have of sharing my faith was actually whenever the Jehovah's Witnesses came and stopped by my house. It's quite interesting because at this time I just came out of the military. I was in Bible college and we're sitting there and they stopped by and Michael was still in diapers running around naked and here they come, you know, and they got up to my door, came in and they're on the patio there and they're like, hey, you know, and started talking to me and they asked me a question. Do you know much about the Bible? I said, a little bit. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, you know a lot. No, well, listen, here's what I've learned a long time ago. If you play dumb and then you're smart, you look good. But if you act smart and then you look dumb, you look real dumb. So I said from the get-go, I know a little bit because I thought if I get showed up by the Jehovah's Witnesses, we got issues. Got issues, all right? So I'm sitting there and I'm witnessing to them and they're witnessing back and we're going back and forth and the whole thing with Jehovah's Witnesses, you need to find out who's in charge and who the teacher is and who the student is. As soon as you figure that out, then you know who and what and how to go about it. So I'm talking to them and I figured it out real quick who was what and we going around and I'm telling, and they didn't bring their Greek Bible and I brought mine and I told them what the Greek said and they were a little upset because they didn't bring their Greek Bible and I told him, next time you come back, bring your Greek Bible, and I'll read that one to you, too. So we're sitting there, and so the teacher says to the student, hey, I think we're done here. I shut the screen door. I said, no, we ain't done. I haven't prayed yet. So this went on for about 45 minutes or so. Michelle's inside the house going, oh, my word. And I'm wearing them out, man. I actually was going to take up an offering if they'd have let me, you know. So I'm going on. Finally, I'm done with them, you know. And I go, okay, you guys can leave now. God bless you. I'll see you later. Stop by anytime. I think I was part of their 12-step program. You couldn't even be a Jehovah's Witness till you stopped by my house, you know. So anyway, so they left. Anyway, years later, a couple years later, Michael and Whitney were young. We had moved houses, and apparently the Jehovah's Witnesses did not get the address information because they stopped by again. And I'm like, hi, how are you guys? Well, I see him walking from afar off. Now, we're out in the driveway, me, my son, my daughter, and my nephew. My nephew and all this. My son says to my nephew, he goes, watch this. Here comes the Jehovah's Witnesses. It was so funny because they know that mom and dad have not just inward faith, we have seen faith. We have faith that we're going to live it on the outside. We're going to believe it on the outside. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of being saved. We're not ashamed of the Bible. We're not ashamed of loving God. We're not ashamed of any of that. Because if you can't live in a culture where it's constantly pushing you down and not live outwardly, if you live outwardly, I promise you, your kids will go backwards. But if you will live outwardly, your kids will see that. They'll be encouraged in that, and they will stand up when they need to stand up. They'll believe when they need to believe. They'll be able to make a stand when they need to make a stand. Why? Because they've seen you as an example lead mothers and fathers, particularly in this situation. How many of you believe that? I believe that. You've got to have a faith, Mom. Mom, you have to have a faith that's on the outside, not on the inside. Inside faith doesn't cut it anymore. You got to live it on the outside. They need to see you doing things like praying, singing, forgiving, sharing your faith, turning a movie off sometimes if it's inappropriate, making a moral stand and saying, we're not going to settle for that. We're above that. We're not going to live that way. We don't believe in that. And so therefore we don't support that. Come on, anybody hear what I'm saying? And is it easy? Come on, it's never easy. But how many of you know, if you care about your kids, you care about your family, you're going to be able to do it. Amen? Amen. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes Michelle has a bigger kid than the two kids. It's me. Sometimes if she can get me under control, everything else goes smooth. But anyway, praise God. But she is the mother of the house, no doubt. Here's the deal. Here's the last one. If you're taking notes, not only a seen faith, you have to have a shared faith. You have to have a shared faith. Look at this. 1 Timothy 3, it says this, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Look at the next verse. That from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. From your what? Childhood. See, as a mother, Timothy's mom was not satisfied with her knowing the Bible. She wanted to take and make sure her kids knew the Bible. How many of y'all hear what I'm saying? It's important, and it's important that you invest in them. It's important that you share with them. Matter of fact, down at the kids' ministry, they can give you an app for your phone and your iPad so that the lesson they are learning down there right now, you can take home this week and reinforce the lesson on your phone and iPad. They can actually go through their lesson again, because the more they see it, touch it, and interact with it, the deeper it goes into their heart. Amen? So take advantage of those resources, man. We definitely want you as parents to be able to grow your kids and grow their faith. Why? Here's why. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How did Timothy hear the word of God? His mother and his grandmother. His mother and his grandmother. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these are the words which I command you, that they shall be in your what? In your heart. Look at the next verse. Watch this. And you shall teach them what? Diligently to your who? Your children. And you shall talk with them when they sit in the house, and when they walk by the way, and when they lie down, and when they rise up. You're going to continually talk to them about the things of God. About the things of God. Hey, listen to this. You ready? Everybody look at me. You're not going to beat them down with the Bible. Not going to beat them down with the Bible. My kids are getting old enough now that my kids watch what they want to on TV. And there was a situation here recently that they were watching something that I didn't particularly agree with. I didn't go in there as the man of God, kick my foot into the TV and say, you holy unrighteous kids, what are you doing? I just simply said, hey, listen, I don't think you guys should be watching that. Do what you want. You guys are old enough. Do what you want. But I'm telling you. Now, if your kid is 4 years old, it ain't do what you want. It's turn the TV off. Okay, but at 19 and 17, it's a little different. I told him, I said, that's not, you shouldn't be watching that. So next day, I believe it was the next day, it may have been the same day. We're having dinner, sitting around the table. And you guys eat around the table? Yeah, we still do that. At least about 3 times a week, we still sit around the table as a family and eat and talk about our day and what's going on. Great place for conversation. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right? So we're sitting around the table and Mike goes, why did you feel that way, Dad? And I explained to him how I felt about it. I said, here's why. It's not because I don't believe in that. It's because I believe in it. And I believe there's power in that. And I believe that stuff's not good for us. And I believe if we put that stuff in our heads, it'll cause things in our head to go wrong. And I explained my side of it. And he goes, Dad, you know what? I don't think I want to watch that no more. I said, good, man. Now, listen, I could have went in there, shut the TV off, and act like a psycho, but that's not sharing my faith. Instead, I just simply made my argument. I made my argument not in an argumentative way. I just said, hey, man, here's why I don't like that stuff. Here's why. And you do what you want, but I'm telling you, I don't think it's good for you. He goes, yeah. And I said, listen, and it was had to do with something on TV. And he goes, maybe that's why I get scared sometimes. Yeah, I know. Don't tell him he gets scared. But I said, Mike, that's exactly why. That plants fear in your heart. You don't want that in your heart. Keep that stuff away. Uh-uh. You know what? He said, you know what? I'm not watching that no more. I said, good. And he hasn't. How many of y'all hear what I'm saying? Hear what I'm saying? Absolutely. And obviously, mother was a part of the conversation. But listen, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about those things. And we're going to make a part of our daily life to talk about God and the things of God. Amen? Amen. Now, what do you do for your mother, though? What do you do for your mother? What should you be doing today for your moms? All right? And now, listen, maybe some of you grew up in a childhood where you don't love your mom. You don't have just a heart for your mother. You don't really know what to do with it. Well, I want to speak to you. Or maybe you love your mother with all, but you don't know how to give that an outlet. Well, I'm going to give it to you. You ready? If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, you need to honor your mother. Come on, amen? The Bible says that that is the first commandment with a promise. Here's what it said. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Look at this. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. With a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Absolutely. The Bible says that if you will honor your mother, you will live long upon the earth. I believe that is a spiritual law that takes place. That when you honor your mother, the Lord will bless you with long life. Amen? So we're going to honor our mothers. The next thing I believe with all my heart you should do is you should help your mother. Help your mom when you can. Step in there and help her. Be a helping hand to her. Think about it this way. Jesus, before he died, he said this. Look at this. Jesus is on the cross. He says, listen. He said, behold your son. I'm giving you the verses right before it. He said, behold your son. And he said, behold my mother. And he told John this. He said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. My point is, Mary was taken care of by the Apostle John, who wrote one book of the New Testament, one book of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that John, okay? Jesus cared about his mother even though he was dying on a cross. How many of you believe that's an important thing, that we should care about our mothers? There was a mother who was poor. She had 3 boys. She raised these boys, and she told them how to work hard and taught them how to live right and taught them how to do these things. Well, in life, these boys grew up, and they become very, very successful. And in life, they became very wealthy. So in light of that, they were sitting there one day, and they decided they would bless their mother. They were going to bless their mother. So the first son said, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Mom has been poor all of her life, lived in a little bitty house, so I'm going to bless her with a huge house. He went out and bought her a big old mansion. Big old mansion, put her in that house. The next son, not to be outdone by the first son, came along and said, you know what? Here's the deal. Mama's never, ever had a nice car or anything else. You know what? I'm going to buy her the highest dollar Mercedes that I can put her in. And you know what? I'm going to hire a driver. She's not even going to have to drive where she wants to go. Anywhere she wants to go, that man's going to drive her everywhere she wants to go. And he did so. Last brother said, I'm not to be outdone by those two. Here's what I'm going to do. He went and he bought a parrot. And he took it to the church, and the leaders of the church trained that parrot that every time they quoted a verse, the parrot would rattle it off. So they'd say John 3:16, the parrot would rattle it off. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. Parrot was on it, man. Good deal. Because the mother had gotten older, couldn't read. She was starting to, you know, forget things. So they wanted her to be able to have the word of God. So this son gave it. Well, the lady lives a little bit longer, and she finally writes her sons to give them a little note about the gifts that she had received. So she writes her first son. She said, son, at my age, this big house feels way too big. I live in about one room of this house, and I don't really need not much more than that. So thank you for your generosity, but I don't really like the house. She wrote her next son. She said, son, as much as I used to love running around and traveling, I don't really like to travel anymore. I've gotten to the point I've seen all I want to see, and I really just like staying home. And the driver that you got me is rude and nasty, so I don't like him either. All right? So that was that. Well, the third one, she wrote her son, and she says, son, I want to thank you for the practical gift that you gave me. I thank you so much for knowing my heart and knowing what I love. And thanks so much, because the chicken tasted great. Say, Pastor Charlie, what's the moral of the story? If your mama likes fried chicken, don't send her a bird that quotes scripture, praise God. All right? The bottom line is you should find ways to help your mom. Amen? Find ways to help your mom. Here's the last one. If you're taking notes or thinking about it, here it is. Here's the last one. We should hear our mothers. We should listen to what they say. I have a scar on my knee right here, right on my knee. You want to know why? When I was a kid, living in Louisiana, they have shells out in the Gulf. We were down at an intercoastal waterway, and my mom told me, "Don't you go out there." And the rule was, you can go out, and this is common in Louisiana, knee high. Knee high. Anybody ever told that as a kid? Don't go out past your knees. You can go out to your knees. And I was like, you know what? I can swim. Mama's not going to tell me what to do. I'm big. I'm like 8. I went out there. I went a little bit deeper because I wanted to dive in. I dove in. And when I dove in, I didn't realize it, but there were clamshells all out there. And my knee slit wide open on a clamshell. I got a big scar on my knee from it. From when I was a kid, all right? I should have listened to mom. She tried to keep me safe. I had to do it my way. I don't even know, we should listen to our mothers. Listen to this. Here's what the Bible says, Proverbs. It says this, my son, hear the instructions of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Absolutely, absolutely. One last thing I want to show you here. This right here is some people in the Bible, specifically women's names. Here they are, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. Anybody know what these five names have in common? Anybody have any idea? I'm going to tell you what they are. These are the five women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. The five women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. As I was thinking about this, and I actually was trying to build my message around this, but I really felt like the Lord wanted me to go here with this. If you study each one of these women, it's kind of interesting. Tamar actually slept with her father-in-law. Gross. Stinking gross. Tamar slept with her father-in-law. Rahab, Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you don't know that song, but you know it's about a hooker, all right? Rahab is a hooker, all right? She's so bad, when they wanted to know where the spies went, they said, we don't know. Well, go ask Rahab. I mean, she was connected, y'all. She was connected to people. She knew everybody in the town. All right? So listen to that. That's that. Ruth ended up marrying Boaz, but before that, she was simply a gypsy. She moved around. She was just all over the place. She didn't really have a purpose in life. Ruth. Bathsheba. Hello. Bathing on the rooftop, and the king can see your roof. The Bible doesn't say that David raped her. The Bible said they had sex. Yeah. Which means it was consensual. Come on, we don't even take a shower without shutting the shower curtain. Homegirl's up on the roof. Can I get a witness here? All right. I'm just telling you about these. Mary, and I know, blessed art thou, Mary. All right. Mary left God, Jesus, for 3 days in Jerusalem. Oh, no. And then realized he wasn't with them. I got three letters for you. You ready? In today's culture, CPS. All right? That's who they'd be calling. That's who they'd be calling for Mary. It's like, Mary, Mary, we're taking Jesus. You don't know how to... Can I get a witness in here? Say, what am I saying about all this? Here's what I'm saying. Here's my point. More than men, women, mothers, I minister to them, and most of the time, it's in reference to their children. And 9 times out of 10, it's in reference to this. If they didn't grow up in church and they didn't raise their kids in church, they say, Pastor Charlie, what am I supposed to do now? My kids are older and they don't know God. What am I supposed to do? I feel so bad that I didn't bring them to church. Or you get a mother that says, you know what? I raised them in church, but now they're acting crazy and I don't know what to do. What did I do wrong? See, because more than mothers, you know, you ask a father that, he say, hey man, what's wrong with your kids? I don't know, they're just crazy. I don't know what's wrong with them. You ask a mother, and the mother's always like, I don't know what I did wrong. See, because there's this idea with mothers that mothers have to be perfect. They have to be perfect. Whenever we dedicate a child up here on the platform, I always pray this. And my prayer is sincere, and it's on purpose. It's, Father, help this mother be the mother she desires to be, knowing that when she misses it, which she will, you are there to make up the difference in that child's life. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I believe that prayer. I pray it on purpose that way, because I believe the truth of the matter is there's not a perfect mom in here, even though every mother in here holds her own level of perfection and believes that that's where she should be. I'm here to tell you, women, mothers, you're not perfect. Don't beat yourself up if you're not perfect. Jesus turned out all right, even with his genealogy. Mothers, you don't have to be the perfect mom. You don't have to be the perfect. Matter of fact, I'm going to give it to you straight. You're not going to be the perfect mom. What you need to pray is that when you miss it, which you will, that the Lord is going to make up the difference in your kids' life. And he's going to show them what a mother should be and what a grandmother should be. That you are there to do your very best. So here's the deal. You live your life for God with all that you got. You give it your all. You give it your all. And if you blow it tomorrow, know that, Lord, I blew it. I want to choke them. Make up the difference with me today. Make up the difference with me. Because I ain't in the mood for all that today. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? You give it your all. You love them kids like nobody. I mean, you just give it your all. Knowing this, if you miss it, which you will, God's going to make up the difference in your life. And even now, maybe you're older and your kids are grown and they're up and out of the house and they're doing crazy stuff. It's never never, never, never too late to start. It's never too late to have a faith that is seen. It's never too late to have a faith that is shared. It's never too late to have a personal relationship with Jesus. When you have those things, I promise you, no matter what age your kids are, they will love you, they will respect you, they will honor you, and they will come along in their faith. I believe that with all my heart. How many of y'all believe that today? Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God.